We head to Washington for the look at the latest in national politics. The votes look tight, but Republican leadership in the House is hoping to pass the contentious Trans-Pacific trade deal by this Friday.
And as we approach the end of June, a Supreme Court decision on whether the federal government can supply health care subsidies through the Affordable Care Act is on the way. President Obama said it's up to Congress to solve the problem if the Supreme Court ends many of those subsidies.
And the competition among candidates vying for the Republican presidential nomination continues to heat up, with Jeb Bush shaking up his campaign leadership ahead of his expected announcement.
Joining us now is Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. Harry, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
We'll start with this Trans-Pacific partnership, negotiations in Congress, not split down party lines, dissension within both parties. Can you spell out some of the politics at play here?
Sure. So basically what we have are, you know, it's going to be mostly Republicans who are going to pass this bill, even though President Obama supports it. But the question is, can you pull off enough Democrats to be able to join with the Republicans to be able to pass what are these, it's sort of a two-pronged bill, but what you're looking for is to give the president fast-track authority so that he could pass this. And what you're also having is that you're trying to assure that those members who are hurt by free trade deals, that they get the necessary funds and benefits regardless of whether or not the deal passes, to basically even things out, even if the deal does pass. And so far what we have seen is that the Democrats have been satisfied that Medicare payouts will not be capped. And so that's one sort of problem that has been put aside. But the question is, can you still put together a majority to be able to pass both of these different parts of the packages? My guess is that they'll be able to, but there really isn't a big Democrat in the Congress who's really taken the lead here in order to pass this. Nancy Pelosi wants no part of it, and Steny Hoyer has sort of not gone either way, but he's certainly not going to help out. So there's still a question as to whether or not it'll be passed, but the Republicans are trying to whip up the votes. They're going to need at least 20 Democrats to do so, and we're not sure if they're going to be able to get the necessary Democrats to be able to pass both of them.
And they're trying to do it Friday, in part, I've heard, because they don't want to leave too much more time for lobbying of possible swing Democrats to get them to go the other way. So they want to get the vote in while the numbers are there.
Exactly. You know, as Lyndon Baines Johnson found out, you know, back in the 50s, if you have the votes, pass it now. Don't give them time. Rush, rush, rush. And right now they're just trying to rush it and get it to the president.
Now, other big news from Washington, President Obama saying we're going to send more advisors, military advisors, about 400 to Iraq, where we'd taken a lot of military out since President Obama became president. What's been reaction, if any, from Congress? Is this on their radar right now?
I mean, this just seems like this war has been going on for so long, and each time we think we're going to get back out, we get pulled back in. And the real problem that Congress doesn't want to save, you know, this Republican Congress, although it's hawkish at the same time, doesn't want to save this president. And we know that although President Bush authorized this war and started this war back, you know, in 2002 and 2003, the public right now honestly believes that both former President Bush and President Obama are responsible for the quagmire that we're dealing with in Iraq right now. And so even though the Congress, Republican held, is very hawkish, as I said, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens when a Democratic president asks them to help him out and try and solve what's going on in Iraq right now. And you know what? There hasn't been a lot of discussion of it, so we're not really quite sure how they're going to respond, although there has certainly been a lot of voices, you know, especially in the Republican field right now running for president, you know, people like Lindsey Graham who are going to want as many people as possible to go into Iraq and solve this problem. It's going to be interesting to see how the different presidential candidates respond. And right now, there isn't a necessary clear sign how all of them will. Of course, they're going to be hawkish voices, but they're probably going to be some dovish ones as well.
Not necessarily a unified Republican voice in Congress on this one, in part, as you mentioned, because of the number of presidential candidates coming out of the Senate.
Right, exactly.
We are talking about the latest news on the national political scene with Harry Enten from 538. Well, speaking of that presidential race, a lot going on the Republican side, and a Jeb Bush, a leading candidate, a leading non-announced candidate, been called a front runner, including by another non-announced candidate, our Governor Scott Walker. But he is shaking up his non-existent campaign, changing the staff. What's going on there?
This is, according to him, he's not switching up the staff. This is the funniest thing that's going on when you're having super PACs and you can't have coordination between campaigns and super PACs. Bush, who's overseas right now, is saying, oh, I guess I'm going to find out what's going to happen when I get back. Look, Jeb Bush came into this presidential race, officially or not officially, back in December of 2014, and most people thought he was going to raise a ton of money, which he probably has, even if he hasn't raised the amount that everybody thought he was going to raise, and he was going to clear a path, and he was going to march to the nomination without a problem. But here we are standing on June 10th of 2015, and Jeb Bush has not cleared a path. More candidates, if anything, seem to be getting into this race. And all of a sudden, you look up your Jeb Bush, your negative favorable ratings, your unfavorable ratings are rising among Republicans. You're losing in Iowa to Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, and you're saying, what's going on? And so he decided that the person who is going to lead his campaign is, in fact, not going to lead it. He is going to be working out only in the early states, and they've decided to put somebody up who wasn't going to lead the campaign because things are just not going the way that they're supposed to be going as far as the Bush campaign is going to go. Now, whether or not it's Jeb Bush who's the problem or the people leading his campaign, we're going to find out. But Bush better hope it's the people leading his campaign that's the problem and not him. Otherwise, if it's him that just Republican voters don't like, obviously he's in a lot of trouble.
Seems like possibly the worst place to be right now in the Republican field, if there's no clear front runner who's a sure thing, is to be that front runner because you're everybody's target. You're getting the scrutiny. And there's really nothing to gain by being out in that position.
Exactly. You know, if you're out in front, you're going to be the target of a lot of people. Now, if you have a 40-50-point lead, as George W. Bush had at this point in the 2000 cycle in June of 1999, that's one thing. You can take the attacks because of attack here, attack there, what happens? Your lead drops from 40 points to 39 points. But if you're Jeb Bush and you're at best at 15% in the polls, or if in Iowa you're probably in the single digits, depending on which poll you look at, and you are deemed to be the front runner, people are going to pile on. And Jeb Bush has been out of politics for a very, very long time, and it's not clear whether he can adjust to this new era in which there's a lot of social media, a lot of live media. Everything that Jeb Bush says or does is recorded, and it's very easy to get attacks out without a lot of money. And you know what? With super PACs, all the opponents are going to have a lot of money anyway. So even if they needed it, they could do it. But on social media, it's very easy to get attacks out. And right now what we're seeing is Jeb Bush is just not running away with this race.
And one key turning point could be debates coming up, Fox and CNN doing them. A lot of Republican candidates, they both say, we're only going to invite the top 10. And there it gets complicated. You wrote about this. What kind of questions are we seeing about who those 10 are going to be?
Yeah, I mean, we have enough Republican candidates to form a conga line. And, you know, CNN and Fox are hosting these first two debates. Fox is going first. And, you know, I'll just say CNN has been very clear about what rules they're going to use, you know, how they're going to average the polls. They're going to average the polls over, I think it's like a 56-day span or 57-day span. And it's going to be very easy to know who's going to be in and out. And you can disagree with the idea of using polls to determine who they're going to be. But we know that there's going to be, with the CNN debate, there's going to be a 10-person debate, the top 10 people in the polls, and then there's going to be a secondary debate where everybody who's at least hit 1% in three polls over a 57-day period are going to be involved. So all the Republicans are probably going to get into one of the two CNN debates. Fox News, on the other hand, is only having one debate. And what we know about that is it's going to be the top 10 candidates in a polling average, the last five polls. But we don't know which polls are going to be into those polling averages. Fox News has not made that clear to me. They haven't made it clear to anybody. And we know they're going to be ties. And if ties are, you know, if there is a tie, then it could be more than 10 candidates. But we don't know how they're going to treat decimal points. And the fact of the matter is, when we're down to this few, these amount of candidates, and you have Carly Fiorina at 1.6 and John Kasich and Rick Santorum at 2, does Carly Fiorina get in? I don't know. And apparently they know or don't know, and if they do know, they're not telling us.
Lastly, briefly, you are watching for a Supreme Court decision on a challenge to the Affordable Care Act. Could trash a lot of subsidies. Is there a plan B out there?
The plan B is for Congress to act, and good luck trying to get a Republican Congress to say President Obama's side. That's going to be very interesting if the Supreme Court decides to say those federal subsidies don't work in states that haven't set up exchanges. I don't know what's going to happen if the Supreme Court decides to rule against the president on this one. It would make for very, very interesting Congress.
We'll watch for that in the future. Harry, thanks as always.
Thank you for having me again.
That's Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538, joining us for our weekly roundup of the latest in national politics.